Well, once again, it is good to join you in the only way we can join you at this time, and that is through these services that our elders have seen fit to make available for us, and I'm very grateful for them for that, because I know that many of us are benefiting from this time together and from having these moments together every week to think on God and His will, and I'm grateful that we have this ability at this time, because certainly this is a once-in-a-lifetime, most likely once-in-a-lifetime event for all of us that we're all up against. And I will say it is good to see a couple of different faces in the auditorium today to help out in leading in worship. Good to have John with us and others who are helping out in the back. And of course, it's always good to have Jim. I appreciate his great skill in leading us and conducting all of these efforts, and it's been remarkable to see that and participate in it. But it is good for all of us to be together. I knew it was going to happen, okay? I knew this was going to happen. You might recall after I got here that Mark Pape, just about a month or so into my work here, decided to leave the work as an elder and take on the work of a preacher in Tennessee, and that's all being done at this time. And I had a few people, you might recall, a few people come to me individually and say, you know, Curtis was here all those years, he never ran off an elder, you know. And so I had Travis Renfro, Sean Quinn, and Gene Spear individually come up and say that to me, and I put them in a special category because of that. Well, I knew this was going to happen. This past week, I had somebody come to me and say, you know, when I saw him, he says, you know, we hire a preacher and the plague comes to town. And I never expected it to be him. It was Mike Carr. And so now I got to put him on that list as well. And that's a shame because I really like Mike, but he's out of here, you know. That's just the way it is. But you hire the preacher and the plague comes to town. And that certainly seems to be the case, because we are all going through something that is truly unique to our lifetime. And there are some benefits from the quarantine, where people are not able to get out to work for the most part, and they are confined at home for the most part. And so it has been a blessing in some respects, where we have had more time to spend as a family. I know I've enjoyed that, being able to be with my kids and my wife, and for us to eat at home on a regular basis, which is not always possible with them being out of state at other times. And so that's been good for us to have. And then a lot of people are getting stuff done around the house and getting caught up on other chores and other duties. And so there have been some benefits to having this time away from our hectic schedules. But it occurred to me in looking at all of this that there are some spiritual dangers that we have to be mindful of when we have so much time on our hands. I mean, not just the regulars of being careful about laziness, that's something to be mindful of, or more time online that people are having now, and you know what happens with more exposure to certain sites and more possibilities, that can be a reality. But I also thought of other things that might be a danger to us, because when you look at this, there's just no way the devil's going to take a day off from all of this. There's no way he's going to his little corner and leaving us alone during this quarantine. You know good and well he's going to capitalize on this. He's going to approach us with things that maybe we weren't accustomed to thinking about or being confronted with, especially as children of God. But the devil doesn't back off. You know, he does not rest, is what the Bible says in regard to his efforts. Because on a different occasions in the New Testament, you see where Paul himself said in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 1, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And he said that in the context of brethren forgiving one another and forgiving a Christian who had wandered away and been returned to the Lord. You can't be ignorant of the fact that the devil will take advantage of that scene and that moment in time. And so he says, look, we know about his devices. We know how he works. Or in Ephesians 6 and verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the trickery of the devil. So he is cunning. He is manipulative. He is aggressive. He is relentless. And he's always looking for a way to get us to stumble or to get us to fall. And I just refuse to believe he's taken time off during this quarantine. I just refuse to believe that the devil is leaving us alone. But instead, I believe that there are some things we're exposed to now that could possibly be an ongoing temptation for us if we're not careful because of this special event we're going through. For instance, I wonder, and it concerns me, I'll just say this. I wonder if some of us will get accustomed to not assembling or to missing services. Now, I know that we're assembling online. I mean, that's the only way we can assemble right now. That's the only way we can be gathered together as a group. I understand that. But ideally, he wants us to be together, God does. He wants us to be in each other's presence, to worship him, and to build each other up and to lift each other up. And I know that the majority of us are looking forward to that when we have an opportunity to come back and be together physically, because that's so important. And we see that. And I know that there's a lot of us that can't wait for that and are anticipating that, praying for that. But what if there are some of us who have grown accustomed to not assembling? What if there are some of us, as a result of this quarantine, who have adjusted to seeing Sunday as just another day, as another day to themselves or another day off from this world? We know that before the quarantine that we saw the importance of gathering, that we would consider one another as God wants us to, that gathering for worship is about other people as well, thinking about how we can help other people and encourage other people. It's not just about us and what we're going through, but rather building other people up by being together and stirring up that love. And so he says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That there is a special type of exhortation, and there is a special type of encouragement that we get by being together physically, which is why God's called us together as a group, and he's called us together for periods of worship and study like he has. But now we understand that it's different for all of us, that now Sundays during a quarantine, since we cannot meet at the building or meet in a physical location, that it has opened up other opportunities for us to do other things. You know, that there are other chores and there are other activities and there are other things we can be thinking about. And I'm not saying it's wrong to do these things, especially on a Sunday. I'm not saying that at all. Yet I just wonder, though, if we can fall into the trap of thinking, okay, this is what Sunday's all about, these other activities, because we've grown so accustomed to that in a moment of separation like this. And my concern is, will we still be concerned about assembling? Because here's what it looks like for the most part. This is what it looks like. Hey, I know this. I had to take this on a week. Jim's like, what about us? Now, I know there are a few people here, okay? But here's what it looks like for the most part on Sundays now, or at least times of services, times of worship. And in fact, if you look real closely at that picture, I took that at 10:43 one morning, and, you know, right around the time we would be assembling. But for the most part, here's what this looks like on Sundays and Wednesdays or other times we would have gathered for services. You know, and this is not ideal. This is not the way God wants it to be. This is not what any of us want it to be. But after the quarantine, will we still see the importance of that? Will we still be excited about assembly? Now, I think a lot of us will be. I think a lot of us have grown to appreciate each other more and more, and especially the privilege of worshiping. But what if the devil is working on some of us? What if he is tricking some of us into thinking, okay, now you have a new way of viewing Sundays. Now you have a new way of viewing Wednesday nights or other times of worship we might have. The Bible says in Psalm 122 and verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. I was rejoicing when it was time to go and worship God. And I'm just saying, I hope it's always like that for us, friends. I hope that we don't let the devil throw us off track from that, because that's what he does. The reason people leave the Lord is because they start focusing on this world more. They start centering their thoughts and their affections on things below instead of thinking about Christ and things above. And he says in Philippians 3 and verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. And he's just simply saying that here are people who began to focus more on this world and living only for this world. And as a result, they depart from the Lord. Well, there is just no way the devil is not going to be working on us. There's just no way he's not going to try and get us to do that at this time, where we're not able to assemble like we would prefer and even like the Lord would prefer. And so, is it still important to us to worship? Is it still important to us to use this time to the best of our ability to think on Him and think on spiritual things? When last week, when people were coming by to leave or to drop off some things here at the building, I just happened to be outside when I saw Mike Hall come by, and he was all dressed up, and he had just brought something by to the building, and I was like, why are you all dressed up? And he goes, well, we get dressed up. Samantha and I get dressed up when it's time for worship. Even though they're at home online, they get dressed up. And I thought that was really good. I thought that said something about the importance of worship to them, that they would still treat it as a time of reverence and a time of honor for the Lord. And I told my family, and so now Stephanie was making sure that everybody was, you're not in PJs, watching TV. You're not in PJs watching the computer monitor. This is a time of reverence and a time of offering to the Lord. And that's something to think about. But even if that is not the case, what about, are we getting accustomed to not assembling like God would want us to? It's something to think about. I also think that another thing we have to be mindful of at this time, at least be on guard against the devil working on us in this way, is that we might be drifting from God, that there is a possibility of that happening. Well, I don't just make that up. The Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, where he says, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Now, why would he choose that term? Why would he use the term of drifting away from God? Well, that's by design. And you know as well as I do that when people drift, it happens gradually. It happens subtly. And it happens in a way that people don't even realize the danger that they are in. I have this picture here, these pictures here, because I read this story of a mother who took her son to the beach, and they got in one of these rafts. This was in Florida, I think a couple of years ago. And they got in this thing, and apparently the current started taking them out, and the wind was strong. They could not maneuver. They could not get back to shore. And they kept going so far out that finally people on the shore could see what was happening. And they called 911, and then rescuers had to go out and get them because they were drifting, and they could not get back. Well, here he says that's exactly what happens, that with God's people, we have to be careful. We have to apply ourselves so that we don't drift away. Or as one translation says, we ought to give even more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Well, that gets back to the idea of it's something happening gradually. It's something happening that we're unaware of. And it's something that is very dangerous for us to be in. I took that word slip and I thought of something. And this just came to me when I was studying this. And you take it for what it's worth as an acrostic. But, are we given more diligence to stay close to God? Or are we starting to slip? Are we starting to drift away from Him? And if you can take that word, and even slips, and think of this as a subtle loss of interest in prayer and study. Is that not how we slip? You know, is that not how we begin to drift away when we start thinking more on this world and less about God, even throughout the day? Is that not possible? That's why it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. To pray without ceasing. Now, obviously, that's not referring to praying 24/7. I mean, we have other duties, okay? He has other things that he expects us to do in life, and he knows that. He understands that. He's not saying that. But he is teaching us to have a spirit of prayer, that we pray continuously as often as we can throughout the day, at every moment that we can. And it doesn't have to be 5, 10, 15 minutes. It could just be a few minutes of just praying to God and letting him know that we love him and that we want to stay close to him. But it can refer also to longer periods of time, designated periods of time. I look at Jesus, and you can go back and you can see it yourself. So often in the New Testament, it talks about how he went aside and prayed. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight. So he got up early just to go pray. He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. So if God in the flesh deemed this so important to his work and to his ministry and to his life on earth that he would rise early at times to find a secret place or a private place and talk to his Father, well, then certainly we can see the importance of that ourselves. That it's important to pray together. It's important to pray with other people. That's very enriching. Yet at the same time, we need that private time with God. We need those private moments with God to talk to him and let him know of our concerns and our cares and our adoration for him. And then, of course, to continually listen to God's word or study God's word, meditate on it throughout the day. That keeps us from slipping, is what I'm trying to get at. And that keeps us from drifting, because you know good and well the devil's going to be working on us at this time. And then I'll say this, in light of this thought, that there is a possible danger that could arise from this, from some of us, and that is we can learn to live apart from one another. Because obviously we can't be together. We can't be together physically. We can't have people in our homes like we would want. We can't go and be with people like we would want. That's kind of changed for all of us at this moment. I mean, Steph and I had a goal of moving here and having everybody here or everybody from here in our home individually or even in small groups, and we were working on that, but obviously this has been impeded from all of this, and I'm going to have that clock bumped a little bit, you know, where I get to have my time extended where I can prove myself and moving to a new place. But it's important for us. It was important for us to have that goal and for us to want to share that with you, because this is important for all of us as God's people, to have time together with one another. Well, what about it? You know, after the quarantine, will we still see the importance of being together as a church, or will we have grown accustomed to not having to physically serve people or be with people like we would want? In Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verses 14 through 16, in talking about this, where it says in verse 16, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So we have to be people who see ourselves as contributing to the body and helping the body grow, especially this local church. Well, if we're not careful, we can begin to think that, you know, think of a life apart from that, to start getting accustomed to not having each other in our lives. And yet the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, 8 through 10, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So he wants us to take our resources that he's blessed us with and share them with one another, share them with others in building each other up and in experiencing life together as a group. And I just hope, you know, I just hope that we don't fall into the trap of thinking, okay, well, that's no longer part of my life. That's no longer a significant part of my life and having people in my life and being involved in other people's lives. And that, to me, I just cannot help but think the devil will try and stump some of us on something like that. And so there's probably more we could throw in there about the spiritual dangers of an ongoing quarantine, because there are some things we have to be mindful of, but I especially wanted to think about this as a group, you know, of learning to live without services, or learning to live without prayer and study, or learning to live without brotherly love and affection in our life. And I just hope we don't do it. I hope we're wise enough to see through all of that and to be on guard against these things in case the devil tries to trick us up in some of these things. So may God bless us in this effort. Good friends, it could be that you're here, or I'm not here. It could be that you're listening and you're not a Christian. And we always like to give people an opportunity to hear the gospel and to be set free from sin, because this is what God wants more than anything, is for you to be saved. And the only way that's going to happen is if you're in Jesus Christ. And the only way you can get into Jesus Christ is if you obey his gospel. That's where you come in contact with his blood. Romans 6 and verse 3, you're baptized into his death. That's where you come in contact with it. And so if you haven't done that, if you haven't obeyed this gospel, we encourage you to do that. If you don't understand this, we ask you for an opportunity to study with you and let you see from the Word of God, see for yourself that salvation is the one who came back from the dead. It's in the Son of God. And if you are willing to turn away from your sins and make that great confession and then be immersed in water in order to be set free from sin, then we encourage you to do that. Or if you have done that and yet have been slipping and drifting, then the beautiful thing is you and I can be forgiven as Christians because of that blood of Christ. But we have to be people who humble ourselves and confess our sins and pray to God, and he is faithful and just to forgive us. So if you're a subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, please be mindful of that as we sing this song.
We're going to sing "There's a Fountain Free."